There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. We've all heard this well-known quote from Hippocrates, but how many of us actually take this message to heart? Today, we're looking at food as a healing tool with plant-based diets and veganism becoming some of the biggest food trends worldwide, and many people using the new year to try a month of Veganuary. We'll be exploring the world of vegan and vegetarian cuisine, the health and the wellness aspects, food preparation, and creating recipes that taste as good as they make you feel. Joining me in the studio today are Athena Mateo, head chef at Supernatural Natural Kitchen at Galeries Lafayette, plus Orit Muhammad, founder of Boone Coffee. What are some of your favorite vegan and vegetarian recipes? Share your favorites with us today. Let us know what you like to bring to the table. We'll be sharing inspiration from our Thursday brunch panel as well. And are you giving Veganuary a go? Maybe even trying to have more days in the week that are meat-free and more plant-based.
Introducing the panel.
Hello and welcome, Chef Athena and Orit.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, thank
Great,
you.
Thank you.
How's your start to January, to 2018 and the new year been?
So far, so good. Yeah, feeling good. Already vegan, so already feeling good.
You're already there.
Exactly.
But most of us are not. That's actually why we thought it would be really good to do this show, because a lot of us are obviously not vegan, but we have seen this trend. It's been happening. It's been happening over the years for many different reasons of people going plant-based, people going vegetarian, people going vegan, and wanted to see what the fuss was all about, quite frankly, and particularly January. You know, everybody's looking to get healthier. This is probably a good way to go. All right, I want to start with you because I know that you've been vegetarian most of your life.
Most of my life.
Why is that? Tell me.
Well, I just didn't think it was right because I grew up in Ethiopia, so the animal actually got slaughtered in the house. Mm. So seeing that at a young age, I decided it wasn't fair. So I put it for my mom. So I decided to be vegetarian. I'm not vegan yet, inshallah. I didn't think it was a different lifestyle. It's just an easy way eating what you like. That's what I thought. I really didn't put a label in it. And my son, who's 7, turned vegetarian when he was 6 by choice. So
it's just something you naturally gravitated towards.
Yes.
In Ethiopian culture, is food generally more plant-based than meat-based? Or
you know, Ethiopians with food, we're extremists. Either most of Ethiopia, which is Ethiopian Orthodox Christians, practice Lent. They become vegan for more than half of the year. So most of Ethiopia becomes vegan. So and we don't have much of cheese, so that's easy to cut out. But even veganism. But when they start eating meat, they eat raw meat. So you know,
they go for it.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. But you can be a vegan easily in Ethiopia because a lot of Ethiopian dishes are vegan.
Yeah. My lovely helper at home, Elsa, shout out to the amazing Elsa. She actually fasts as well.
Yes.
And she's an Orthodox Christian and she does that and it's brilliant and, you know, it's really good for her. And so she does that. But Chef Athena, I want to come to your story.
Yeah.
You weren't always vegetarian or vegan.
No.
How did it happen?
So I wasn't vegan at all, far from vegan, as I trained as a chef in London, learning traditional French cuisine. And then I started thinking about what I eat the most of and what doesn't make me feel good. And I read a book called 80-10-10 by Dr. Douglas Graham. And I realized that was it. I was going vegan overnight. And I did that. I went 100% vegan. I actually went raw for the first 8 months. And then after that, I transitioned into cooked vegan and haven't looked back. And that's about 5 years now.
It's kind of interesting because I see that, you know, Supernatural Kitchen is a raw vegan cafe.
Yes.
And I was asking about that before. You know, why raw? Why wouldn't it be, you know, cooked?
Yeah. So with raw food, I personally had miraculous healing on raw, as I mentioned. had endometriosis that was told was incurable, I had to only manage it, and that is completely gone, which was life-changing for me. I wore glasses my entire life. I had double eye and dry eye syndrome, and again, stopped wearing glasses after healing on raw foods. These are things where I would go to the doctor and they would ask me how it happened. But the power of raw foods is just phenomenal. It digests easily, it goes into your body, it's everything that you need and nothing that it's everything that you need and nothing that you don't. It's not actually the foods, the fruits and vegetables that you're eating that heal you, but when you have fruits and vegetables that are easily digestible, your body then is able to heal itself because it's not being tied down to the weight of digesting heavy animal products or heavily cooked starches. So it's your body that does the healing on its own, whilst it's basically allow time to rest when you're having raw foods.
Which is why it's such a good thing to do if you are trying to be more healthy in terms of your diet and looking for things to do. As we mentioned, Supernatural Kitchen, Dubai's first and only 100% raw, vegan, gluten-free, sugar-free and preservative-free kitchen. Yes. And restaurant. You just can't everything out.
Free of everything, but not free of flavor.
Yes. That's it's what we want to emphasize.
Yeah.
It's very tasty. I mean, the food is amazing there. So
thank you.
Let's be honest. I'm going to be very honest about this. When we were talking about it last month in the office about Veganuary, about going vegan, the idea of we were going to try it and we chickened out, to be perfectly honest, because I think we were thinking, oh, it's going to be so bland and it's going to be so boring and it's just going to be too difficult. So these are some of the things that we want to address today.
Yeah. I think what you need to remember is when you cook a steak or chicken, you're flavoring it with plants. You're flavoring it with the flavors of the earth, with spices, with seasonings. So let's just take the part out that we need to season and just use the whole rich whole foods of that plant-based cuisine can offer. Mm-hmm. Thought that it can be bland. Unfortunately, we've all had bad experiences where you go to a restaurant and have a bit of dry tofu and it's disgusting. But put those things out of your mind, because in 2018, I was going to say 17, 2018 now, anything you want can be made vegan.
Because I want to ask you both, before we jump into the food news stories, about kind of your favorite vegan recipes, particularly easy ones that are go-to recipes for you at home.
The easiest one is pasta with tomato sauce. Yeah, it's the easiest way to do vegan, because for my child, that's the one I cook, and it's the easy. And
that's what you do.
Yeah, it's easy, fast, and very tasty. Yes, you can make your tomato sauce in different ways, but at the end, that's still vegan food.
Mm-hmm. Chef Athena.
So I think my favorite and really easy thing to make is jackfruit. Jackfruit is so, so versatile. It's crazy. You can have it when it's ripe and sweet and sticky. It tastes like bubble gum. Or you can buy it over here easily in brine. It's called young green jackfruit.
Tastes like bubble gum.
When it's ripe, like the sweet ripe fruit tastes like bubble gum. It's delicious. But that's when you get it fresh from the market. But when you get it in a tin in brine, if you cook that down with some barbecue sauce and you shred it, it shreds like meat and it has the texture of meat, and you can add any flavor to it, and it's absolutely amazing. You can do so many things with jackfruit. You put it into curries, put it into stews, as I said, do it with a barbecue sauce, and put it in a bun with some coleslaw. It's delicious. So jackfruit, everyone needs to go out and buy a packet of jackfruit, because you can do everything with it.
I don't even know what jackfruit is.
It's
I'm missing
so good.
Clearly a lot of us are missing out that haven't had jackfruit yet. When is it in season?
You know what, I don't know when it's in season, but I know that you can get it all year round. If you want to cook it in a savoury dish, you have to get the tinned in brine. Mm-hmm. Tinned young green jackfruit, it's called. It's easily, readily available over here. So you can get it all year round.
That's one of your secrets of replacing meat.
Yeah,
with
and it's no
else.
Nasties. It's not using, there's no, it's gluten-free, it's wheat-free, it's... yeah, it's good for you.
All right, there's your first tip from Chef Athena and from Orit, but let's get into some food news.
The latest food news.
Now, this is a story that you actually picked up, Chef Athena, because we've been talking about the trend of vegan food everywhere, and now it's getting into more restaurants and more supermarkets, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was when I was looking today to find something to talk about on the radio, really vegan food, it was almost impossible to choose. There's veganism is going so mainstream. Waitrose and Tesco's have bought out huge vegan ready meal ranges, which just shows that, you know, often people say, you know, how can one person make a difference? But when lots of people start to, the demand for vegan food starts to go up, then the supermarkets have to meet the demands. And that's obviously been shown by, I think Tesco's now has 11 or 12 new vegan ready meals. Waitrose mm-hmm. has them. Sainsbury's has a huge vegan cheese range, and
20-part range at Tesco's.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty amazing, you know, for a first range to go in there. You've got barbecue pulled mushroom pizza is one mm-hmm. of them. What kind of stood out for you maybe from their range?
They have a really nice looking wrap, which is made with the wrap is made with beetroot, so the wrap is bright pink, and that's obviously appealing to the eye, which will draw you to it. And then when I been looking on Instagram the last couple of days, I have seen the shelf is sold out. The shelves are sold out, because I told my mother, who's back in the UK, to go and have a look for us, and it's been sold out almost every day.
It's just,
which is just phenomenal.
Is this something that you expected to see, or is it that it does it surprise you to see that people are on the bandwagon so much now?
No, it doesn't. When I was back in the UK over Christmas, the vegan events that are popping up, the vegan markets, the new ranges in the supermarket, the awareness online on social media, through documentaries on Netflix, it can't be hidden anymore. It's no longer like a small subculture of people wearing tie-dye and throwing blood over people in, you know, fur jackets. It's so much more than that now. You can't hide from it. It's everywhere. It's mainstream. It's normal. And it's healthy.
Coming up next, we are going to get to your news story as well, Orit, as well as looking at cauliflower steak, quote unquote. One UK retailer has been really copying it for putting that out as a vegetarian or vegan option. We're going to find out who that is. It is the Thursday Brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Getting into plant-based diets today, vegan, vegetarian, whatever you want to call it, we want to know what you like to do if you're going a little bit plant-based, maybe avoiding meat and meat products, meat-related products. We've got in the studio Chef Athena Mateo. She is head chef at Supernatural Kitchen at Galeries Lafayette, and Orit Mohammed, the founder of Boone Coffee. Now, a little bit more food news.
The latest food news.
Orit, your food news story.
Me, my food story is, you know, UAE's food and beverage market is reaching 13.2 billion this 2018, they're estimating. And it's, you know, I'm sure everybody's aware, you see so many outlets being open everywhere and a lot of homegrown concepts too this year. So it's a kind of exciting time. And, you know, they're predicting that there's going to be more tourists coming in, and the people who are local, I mean, people who are living in the Dubai area or the UAE area, also are going up more. So it's exciting time for the F&B in this region, because there's a lot of new concepts coming up, and a lot even with, you know, vegan pastries or vegetarian restaurants. They are coming up to those. It's the smaller ones, but comparatively from, I think, the previous years, it's less chains and more UAE-based concept.
More specialist restaurants coming through rather than the big chain restaurants that you see everywhere else.
Yeah, I was just surprised that how much people go out to eat. You know, the survey shows the average person goes at least once a week.
This is a survey through?
This is Gulf News report. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at least once a week. So I'm pretty surprised that everybody's, like, you know, spending a lot of money out eating shows.
Yeah, there you go. UAE. It's one of those things that we love to do, love taking out friends, particularly when you've got friends coming into Dubai. You want to show them the best of Dubai. You want to take them to some of the good restaurants out here. So, it's one of those things that is just, it's a joy. You know, we love to do it. So it's interesting to see.
Yeah, in this part of the world, most socializing does happen with food. So going to restaurants and cafes, exciting, over coffee.
Sometimes you wonder, is there an oversaturation of restaurants here in Dubai? But
clearly there is a demand, isn't there, Chef Athena?
Yeah, I think there's a demand. Oversaturation, there's a lot of choice. It doesn't necessarily mean quality over quantity. I think as a vegan, sometimes I'm disappointed when I go out and I find the option is avocado toast or a green salad, or I have to invent something from the sides menus. Recently, a few of the bigger chains have a vegan menu, then they won't blow you away, but it's nice to see there's more awareness about it. And then some of the higher end restaurants do have very nice vegan options.
Finally.
I was spoiled. I used to live in California, and I'm from London, and you're spoiled in those locations. So it's nice to see more vegan options over here in Dubai, but it's still hit and miss whether it's going to be a meal to write home about.
Speaking of vegan options, Marks and Spencer has been derided over quote unquote cauliflower steak. This is pretty a pretty sorry looking steak, if you ask me. But Marks and Spencer has unfortunately received a barrage of criticism for selling a cauliflower steak for twice the price of a typical cauliflower. Basically, what it is, it's sliced cauliflower that they've wrapped up in a lot of plastic, and they've gotten a lot of flack as well for wrapping it up in so much plastic. They sell whole regular cauliflowers for £1, but online, so you've got foodies like Rachel Clark tweeting out, Marks and Spencer stores are selling sliced cauliflower as cauliflower steak with lots of lovely plastic and charging £2, normally £2.50. She wrote on Twitter, a cauliflower costs about 69p from a local veg store. So it just kind of makes you look at that and think, okay, there's a trend for more plant-based foods, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's about cooking intelligently at home. There's lots of, those 1 minute recipe videos with vegan recipes for cauliflower steaks, lots of cauliflower steaks online in recipe books. It's delicious. You can marinate it. It's lovely. But just go to the shop, buy a whole cauliflower and slice it.
Exactly.
That's it.
I just love that they've written on it, ready to cook.
Isn't all cauliflower ready to cook?
Not kidding. But I mean, so two issues here, obviously. I mean, do you look at stuff like this and think, you know, the product development manager at some stores really ought to know a bit better?
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to jump on the bandwagon of...
You would think, though, that they would put more thought into it.
I like Marks and Spencer's as a brand, but when you go to the shop, I've always thought of it as it's a supermarket for those who want a ready meal. Mm. I would never go there and do a shop of ingredients. I think they're trying to cater to the people that they have going to the supermarket, going to Marks and Spencer's, which are the people who want easy, accessible, quick, take it out of the package and put it in the oven.
Mm. And, you know, just to name it steak, does it have to say steak? You know, I don't understand that when you become a vegetarian or vegan, you don't necessarily want to substitute meat texture or meat feel. It's fine to eat the vegetables the way they are. So I don't know, cutting it and as if it's a different product. Yes, it's crazy.
It's all in the marketing, isn't it? But yes. So that's kind of the first issue, that the actual food, but also the plastic, the overwhelming use of plastic in products like this, where, you know, a normal cauliflower you'd never need to wrap into plastic if you're buying a cauliflower from the store, right?
Yeah.
Another one, Sainsbury's, getting shoppers upset with their use of plastic, wrapping up coconuts in plastic and selling those. And people also tweeting that out on social media and taking photos and putting it up and saying, what on earth is going on here? It's really something else, isn't it, Chef Athena?
Yes. The overuse of plastic is prolific, especially in this region, I find, and there's not that much awareness about why we shouldn't be using single-use plastic. Wrapping a coconut in plastic is obviously ridiculous and unnecessary.
You guys actually are plastic-free at the restaurant.
Yeah, we are plastic-free. We use VeggieWare, which is a compostable... as compostable takeaway containers. I've completely banned straws. We have reusable stainless steel straws, which we sell at the restaurant, and also we use them for the customers when they come and buy juices and smoothies to have there at the restaurant. the straw, I mean, plastic, turtles eat plastic bags thinking that they're jellyfish. They get the straw stuck up their nose. Oh. It's not necessary for us to, why don't we just pick up a cup and drink it? You know, we don't need a straw. And if you think about how, just in Dubai alone, how many restaurants there are, how many straws they use a day, it's just cut them out.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Agreed. And Orit's got our first...
Guess the ingredient.
Clue.
Okay. There are Assyrian texts that say that today's mystery ingredient was grown in the Hanging Gardens of Babylon in 800 BC. Although we still don't know if Hanging Gardens ever existed, we can be positive that ancient Mesopotamia knew about the ingredients. Although people have been eating the leaves for millennia, the hard root was generally used only for medical purposes in Roman times.
Coming back to our conversation with Chef Athena Mateo, head chef at Supernatural Kitchen, and Orit Muhammad, founder of Boone Coffee, we are talking going vegan, going vegetarian, doing a meat-free Monday, or more days of the week, looking at them being more plant-based and what that can do for us and how to do it properly, in fact. And we're looking for your texts as well. I find my go-to vegetarian recipes in Mira Soda's Indian cookbooks. Also, Ottolenghi is an excellent choice. I like that. Arabic food has got a lot of vegetarian and vegan options as well, which is quite nice in terms of things like tabbouleh, one of the most amazing salads of all time.
Yes.
Fattoush, or you could do a baba ghanoush, which is quite lush as well at the same time as being, you know, vegan. Hummus is amazing. Falafel, spectacular if you do them right.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I eat way too much fried falafel. I love hummus in falafel.
Do you put them in the oven? Can you do that? Does that work?
Yeah, you can bake them. It's never going to be the same, is it? Yeah, but, you know, you can do a healthy version, but, yeah, you know, deep fried falafel, you can't beat it, really.
No, you really can't. And even when they're stuffed with some onion and some mark, that's something.
Oh, yeah,
else.
And they stuff them with pine nuts and onions. So good.
Yeah, we're loving it. We want to know what you love to make that is vegan, that's vegetarian, 4001 or on the app. But coming back to some of our news stories as well, we're going to be talking about the onion that doesn't make you cry anymore. Interesting new breed of onion, in fact. But if you could have something put on a charter flight and brought to you because you missed it so much, what would it be?
Me?
Yes.
Okay. There was a place I used to go to in America, in Albuquerque in New Mexico, called Loving Vegan, and it was a completely vegan sushi restaurant.
Wow.
And
that's,
I tell you what, it was amazing. I'm not like a lover particularly of fake meats and mock fishes, but they had vegan prawns, vegan lobster, vegan octopus. They had these phenomenal, it was absolutely outrageous. It was fantastic. So yeah, we used to drive 4 hours from Las Cruces, New Mexico to Albuquerque for the weekend just for this vegan sushi restaurant.
Did it taste as good though?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing.
Amazing,
yeah.
Now I'm really into it. I want to go over. If you happen to send some stuff over, bring it in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But all right, is there something that you particularly miss that you would love to have put on a charter flight and brought over for you?
Wow. This is a hard question.
It's a hard one. Well, I'll tell you why we're asking, because it's the ultimate act of dedication to a food that you love so much, because a group of expats living in Bordeaux have chipped in to charter a plane to deliver them some Indian food from the UK.
From the UK?
So, yes. So, James Emery and a group of curry lovers living in the French city missed the cuisine so much that they teamed up with the Akash, an Indian restaurant in Portsmouth, to charter a flight to deliver food to them. So James, who is a pilot himself, told the Portsmouth News, he said, "I have been a loyal customer of the Akash for close to 20 years. Every time I popped in for a meal, I would complain about the bland and uninspiring version of Indian food that we get in France." So, you know, having moved to France, it was one of those visits that it just made him think, I just can't do this. I cannot... It's not the same as having the food back home. So what they did is they would have the food cooked at Akash, packaged, delivered to France via a small six-seater plane, and then reheated in Bordeaux by James and his mates, both British and French, who planned to have a celebratory meal in the aircraft hangar. That's what he's doing. He loves it so much. It's one of those things where you just think, there are those dishes where you miss it so much. Sometimes you wish you could just get that plane to send it over.
And I think what's funny is that Indian cuisine, Chinese, Thai, no matter where you have it all over the world, it's different. So yes, an exactly. Indian or a Chinese I'd have in London, it's completely different to something I would have had in New York. And again, it's completely different to something I've had here. So I can understand needing that specific restaurant because, yeah, it's not as if it's the same all over the world. They have different versions of it wherever you are.
Yeah, I would be really interested to know from people if there is something in particular that they miss so much that they would put it on a flight, on a chartered flight, and just have it brought over because it's... we're lucky we get most things here from back home. But sometimes there's like a dish or a delicacy or something that somebody puts together that they just know how to do it just right.
Yeah. And they sell vegan crumpets in Marks and Spencer's. So when I found that out, I stockpiled them.
vegan crumpets?
Yeah, they're just vegan by proxy from Marks and Spencer's. And they're like 8 dirham for 6. So... delicious.
I miss crumpets, I have to say. That is one of the things I miss from Sydney as well. We do love a bit of crumpet and with some honey on top. But you can't have honey if you're vegan, is that right?
I do not have honey, but there's lots of alternatives like maple syrup, agave, date syrup. Date syrup I've never eaten so much of till I moved here. Lots of alternatives.
Dibbis. It's called dibbis in Arabic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we love it. We put it on everything.
Delicious.
It is quite amazing, isn't it? But that's one of the food stories that we're following as well today. And as well as that, we did mention the onion. The onion... that is not going to make you cry anymore. If you bawl your eyes out when you're chopping your onions, you're going to be happy about this. It is called the Sunion, an onion 30 years in the making. It is going to hit shelf soon, and it promises to bring an end to your dicing tears. So this is a sweeter, crunchier, smaller version of the typical onion. The Sunion is the result of natural onion crossbreeding, meaning no genetic modification was involved. And I was worried about that. When Joe pulled out this story, our producer Joe pulled out the story, I thought, I wonder if there's genetic modification, but apparently there's not. So that is a good thing. Don't like to see that in food. But the new onion simply lacks the volatile compounds responsible for pungency and tearing. So with normal onions, this is what happens. These compounds, which form a sulfuric acid, when they come into contact with the water in your eyes, they remain stable or increase during storage. But with sunions, the levels actually... don't you love the name? We're just like sunions, honestly. The levels actually decrease over time, resulting in an onion variety that becomes sweeter, milder, and tearless. Because of the creation of these onions is natural, the process is natural, there's a strong level of consistency as well from onion to onion, bulb to bulb.
But does it not make your breath stink? That's the more important than the crying, I think.
That is a really good point. But it does say that the pungency is less as well. So it's milder and sweeter. So maybe it helps your breath as well. There you go. Is that one of the things that you would like to see? Onions that don't make you cry?
I don't know. I haven't cried that much with the onions. It's maybe one or two tears, which is good probably for cleaning the eye. So yeah. I don't know.
You're one of those people who is affected less by it. Is that right?
I think so.
It looks like it. Athena?
Although, as a chef would usually get excited by new food products, I wonder... is that a waste of time?
Exactly.
And how many people were on this team of developing this onion for 30 years? And could it have been put to better use?
You say that, Chef Athena, but clearly it is an issue.
I can see there must be some sort of demand for it.
There must be this kind of demand. We're going to be talking in the next segment about a restaurant that's been fined £50,000 for serving food on unhygienic wooden boards. But before we get to that, we are going to be giving away the next clue in our Guess the Ingredient competition.
Guess the ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Today's mystery ingredient is most commonly a dark red colour. In 1747, Andreas Sissemund Magerath, a chemist from Berlin, discovered a way to produce sucrose from today's ingredient. And today, around 20% of the world's sugar comes from this plant.
More Thursday brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. We are discussing today going plant-based. Would you do it? How would you do it? Maybe you're already doing Veganuary. Maybe you're already vegan and pretty passionate about it, as our guest today, Chef Athena Mateo, head chef at Supernatural Kitchen, is. We've also got Orit Muhammad. She is the founder of Boone Coffee and a vegetarian herself.
Yes.
And so yes, we want to know from you, what are you doing? What are your favorite recipes that you go to? But we've got some questions that have come in. One saying, great discussion. Suggestions for yummy vegan mayo, please. The ones I've tried in Dubai are really . What would you do for a vegan mayo? Because, of course, as we know, mayonnaise has eggs in it. So what would you do?
Well, I think I would make it at home yourself, basically, rather than buying like a gelatinous, thickened vegan version from the shop. There's quite a few recipes online. I'd look for them. We make one with a cashew nut and cauliflower base. And the cauliflower gives actually a really interesting mayonnaise-y taste to it. I don't know why, but it does, yeah. And then what's also nice, to put a sprinkle of mustard seeds in any mayonnaise you make, gives it a really nice taste. You can also use aquafaba, which is the water that remains after a tin of chickpeas. And if you're using it for a savory recipe like a mayonnaise, you can use that, and then you can whip it up with some canola oil or another neutral rapeseed oil, and you'll get a nice smooth mayonnaise from that also.
Because it's got, I mean, of course, chickpeas, they are plant-based, yeah, obviously, but they still have this kind of the water from the chickpeas or the broth,
yes,
that they get boiled in does have that gelatinous kind of a quality to it that makes for a good binder, just like eggs do.
Exactly. The consistency of the water in a tin of chickpeas is very, very similar to egg white itself. So if you take that and you whip it, you'll need to whip it. Don't whip it by hand. Sometimes you can whip up normal egg whites by hand, but with aquafaba, you'll need to use an electric whisk. And if you whisk the water from a tin of unsalted chickpeas with some caster sugar, a little bit of vanilla, some cream of tartar, so it stays stable and holds its shape, then you've got either uncooked, it's like a delicious marshmallowy, fluffy, creamy topping. And if you bake it, it's a meringue, which also... I used to love macaroons, and I thought macaroons were dead to me after going vegan. But of course, the main ingredients in macaroons are egg whites, and you can recreate delicious vegan macaroons with aquafaba.
And you've done that?
Yeah. And it works. It does work.
I'm fascinated and amazed by this whole vegan world. There's a whole world out there. So you don't have to be distressed if you love your baked goods, if you love your cakes, if you love your macaroons, if you love your meringues. Yes. You can still have all of those if you want to do a Veganuary, or if you want to go plant-based, which is really good news. When we were little, my mum used to boil chickpeas, and we used to drink that, the aquafaba, and it's actually, in wintertime, it is beautiful, and she would put chili in it, and it just was the most soothing thing. I don't know. I think it's got health benefits in there some way. It must.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting, and I always like the thought of no waste. So that is exactly, that's the whole premise of that, and no waste. You're even using the water that you're using to boil chickpeas, which is perfect.
Yeah. We were talking just earlier about the kind of food that you would put on a chartered plane and have it brought over to you because you love it so much. Aisha texted in saying, raised from the coastal region of Kenya, what I would definitely get on a plane is a seaweed pickle. This delicacy is seasonal, and only certain fishermen or divers can bring the best seaweed, which is marinated in sweet coconut vinegar. Interesting. And fresh chilies, and later cooked. Made right, this delicacy is eaten with everything from bread in the morning to rice dishes and grills, and can be refrigerated and used throughout the year. I'm intrigued by this. Interesting. Thanks for the text, Aisha. Let us know what you would love to have brought over that you can't get here in Dubai. Would love your thoughts on that. But another story that we found in the news today is a restaurant being fined £50,000 for serving on wooden boards that don't quite meet the standard. And
I want to get your thoughts on this, because it is, it's one of those things that we're still seeing in terms of serving not on plates, on something else.
Yes.
But you've got to have the best type of wooden boards if that's what you're going to go for. If you're going to put a steak on a lovely wooden board, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think there's a technique to caring for the boards depending on which wood you have, and it's oiling them and it's storing them properly and allowing them to air dry and not saturating them in water. If you don't have the time to do that, then it's best you opt for a plate. However, with vegan food, at least you don't have the often food poisoning causing aspect of cross-contamination.
Mm.
So if you have some meat on there and a residue of meat, or maybe even a raw uncooked fish, that is certainly not something you want to be having any remnants of on a wooden board.
Mm.
So
that's another story that we've seen in the news as well. To get your thoughts on that,
guess the ingredient.
This one from Orit.
Today's mystery ingredient is indigenous to Asia Minor and Europe, and is cool weather crop that is hardy and tolerant of some freezing. It is grown widely in Germany, France, but is grown all over the world in temperate areas. World production is approximately 250 million metric tons annually.
We're looking at food as a healing tool, with plant-based diets and veganism becoming a big, big trend, not just here in the UAE, but worldwide. We're exploring all of the different options with Athena Mateo, head chef at Supernatural Kitchen at Galleries Lafayette, and Art Muhammad, founder of Boone Coffee. Now, our producer Aisha is on Facebook Live at the moment. We're just about to be serving up some of Chef Athena's delightful dishes that she has brought to us today. But Chef Athena, as you kind of put that together, we're also getting texts in on 4001. This one is coming in through the Dubai Eye app from Mary, saying my favorite easy vegan dish is mjaddara, which I love too. It's an Arabic dish with lentils and rice. So you use the brown lentils with rice, and that is served with caramelized onions on top. I like it, Mary. I love it. She says, served with yogurt, it is also a great vegetarian dish. So you don't have to go strictly vegan. You can do it that way. Or we serve it with salad. We serve it with a great fattoush. That way it's completely vegan there as well. I'm just being served here. I'm going to go through our first dish, which is truffle beetroot ravioli made from marinated beetroot and cashew truffle cheese. This is going to be a first for me, Chef Athena. Talk us through this as you serve up.
So for the ravioli, it's obviously, as I mentioned before, the restaurant's gluten-free, so it's not pasta as you know it. It's thinly sliced beetroot, marinated in a little bit of agave, apple cider vinegar, sea salt, and a little bit of olive oil. And then sandwiched in between the two slices of beetroot is a cashew cream cheese. The cashew cream cheese is cultured with Acidophilus, which is a vegan probiotic. We leave that to ferment for 48 hours. And then it's mixed with truffle oil, sea salt, and miso paste, which also gives it a cheesy consistency. And that is the ravioli.
Oh my goodness. I'm just eating away here as we speak. Beautiful. The thing about this food is, before you do eat it, it is presented in the most beautiful way. And that's obviously really important when you're looking at any kind of a dish. But as we were saying earlier, sometimes we look at vegetarian options, or we look at vegan options, and we think it's going to be unappetizing.
Yes.
It is going to be boring. And still, a lot of restaurants are still struggling to catch up. But you've put these combinations together in a really gorgeous way to begin with. But the taste is also something else.
Thank you. I think that I definitely do not regret my training. So I trained for 3.5 years at Westminster as in traditional French cookery mainly, and then I specialised in patisserie and confectionery. And during that time, I was able to really learn about flavours and cooking and traditional techniques, which enabled me to change once I went vegan, I just translated what I knew from non-vegan cooking into vegan cooking. So it's amazing to have that proper base and that proper training of flavor profiles and cooking techniques that then could be translated into vegan food, because which I feel can be missing sometimes.
Yeah, because it all translates back. It all gets used in there as well. And this is one of the things that I want to ask you as well, Chef Athena. If you're thinking about going vegan, maybe you haven't done it before, is it difficult? Is it something that is going to require a lot more food preparation because you might be trying to replicate meats or the flavor of meats, or when you're baking and things like that? You've got to find other ways of going around the traditional food preparation.
Yeah. So eating is easy, but eating intelligently is a skill. And with any skill, it takes some practice. I think if you are used to having, say, a chicken breast and some broccoli and some potatoes for dinner, you may struggle slightly to find alternatives. But once you get into the swing of not thinking about veganism as restrictive, but just thinking of the actual only handful of things you're taking away from your diet, and focus on the things that you can eat rather than things you're removing, it's not difficult. The preparation time is the same. It's easy to cook vegan. There's so much, so many recipes online and in cookbooks, and there's a demand for a knowledge of vegan cooking, which is why we're running a 6-week vegan cooking course, actually, which starts tomorrow, just to teach people the basics of vegan cooking, and it does not have to be challenging. Obviously, I'm biased because I'm a chef, so of course it comes more naturally to me and more easily to me because I've been cooking since I can remember. But I know people who have gone vegan overnight and have no prior cooking experience, but it can be done.
All right.
This beetroot ravioli is amazing. You know, if I didn't know the cheese, I would have really thought it was real animal.
Thank you.
Product cheese, really, it is, and I love the crunchiness, and it has a little tang and spice, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's really nice. I really like it, and it's beautiful to serve too.
Thank you.
I've got to say, I really can't believe that's just cashew.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
It really does taste like cream cheese.
It's really going back to, again, like traditional methods of making cheese with a fermentation, with the allowing it to culture. You're going to get this similar, if not the same results as using dairy, but you're using cashew nuts.
It's a dish that's got, it's got the colour in there, it's got the combination of textures, you've got the creamy with the crunchy,
yeah,
the crunchiness of the gorgeous slices of beetroot there, you've got the truffle flavours combined with the delicate cream cheese type flavour.
Thank you.
And it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful dish. I love it. Is this something that we can try at home?
This can
be made at home. And it's also something, it's one of our best sellers at the restaurant. Mm. It's not overly complicated processes and techniques and ingredients, but it's just finding those flavor profiles that balance together nicely. So as you said, the sweet with the savory, and then the tang from the cheese, and the cultures make a big, big difference.
You have definitely found those. We've got another question as well. In the summer of 2017, I became vegan. I'm loving it and doing well, but I find it really difficult when I want something quick and easy that doesn't involve a lot of cooking and snacks. Of course, tips on snacks. Would you just go for fruit?
About to say that. Fruit. I find that lots of people fall into sort of a pothole of, they have the protein myth, and they think, okay, I'm going to have snack on nuts, I'm going to snack on almonds, I'm going to snack on cashews, I'm going to snack on some higher fat, like energy bars or energy balls that people often like to buy. But those things are really taxing on the digestion, and they're heavy, and they are whole plant-based fats, which are good, but having them continuously throughout the day is really going to mess up your digestive system depending on what you've had before or after them. So to me, my go-to snack really is fruit. Bananas, ripe bananas, oranges, mandarins, clementines, mangoes when they're in season here are fantastic. Watermelon is always so cheap and delicious here, coming from Iran. Really, I carry fruit with me everywhere. Grapes, yeah, you're quite spoiled actually for fruit in this region. Sometimes a little bit tricky finding it ripe, but I go to the whole, for my personal shopping at home, I go to the wholesale fruit and vegetable market in International City, and the fruit's fantastic there.
Quite good. For you, Orit, in terms of snacks that keep you going?
You know, I don't know, with the being Ethiopian, I guess We don't snack. So I eat my first meal and I eat my lunch late and that's it in dinner. So snacking is not common. So even I think my children are not used to snacks. I don't snack.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
It's not something that everybody does, that is for sure. But coming back to your dish, Chef Athena, and vegan cheese, what are the kind of varieties yes. that you can get and how is it made? You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so vegan cheese, it's progressed in leaps and bounds recently for sure. Yes. No longer are you looking at a sad soya block of tasteless nothing, it doesn't melt. At the restaurant, we make all our cheeses from scratch using vegan probiotics that I either use Rejuvelac, which is a homemade one from quinoa, or Acidophilus, which comes in a powder form, which is a vegan probiotic. And then our cheeses are aged anywhere from 3 days to 10 weeks, 12 weeks. It really depends what kind of cheese it is. Also, recently I've been experimenting with a proper penicillin mold that they use traditionally to make Brie and Camembert. So, you know, Brie and Camembert have that blooming rind, which is very hard to replicate with a block of cashew cheese. But if you have the correct mold and even the blue cheese mold, you can get the same cheeses. There's a company I get Camembert from in the UK and it's you cannot tell the difference. I've given it to non-vegans and they cannot tell that it's not Camembert because it has all the traits, textures and tastes and smells of traditional Camembert.
Really?
Yeah. So I think over here we make our cheeses from scratch from nuts, which have no oils, no additives, no preservatives, which is a real treat and tastes delicious, can be added to different dishes. And then also you can get the traditional, more processed kind of vegan cheeses over here also, which is a different flavour and works with different things.
How many different types of cheese can you make as a vegan?
Just indefinitely, basically. Think of any normal dairy cheeses can be made vegan. So
really?
So you can have aged parmesans, you can do, as I said, Camembert and Brie with a blooming rind, you can use blue cheese, you can air dry, or you can age them in the refrigerator, which gives a softer set cheese. It's endless, really. It's just all about experimenting and seeing.
And people are still experimenting in terms of what you can do with vegan ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, I make a mozzarella at the restaurant with psyllium husk, which gives that gelatinous texture. There's so many different ingredients that can be used that it's endless, really.
Amazing. I'm loving it. I want to try more of these vegan cheeses.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
Because you can do can you do the hard ones? Can you do like a parmesan?
Yeah, you can do hard cheeses. Again, it's the aging process. It depends how long you
let
them
air dry for.
That's
something I want to try. Love my parmesan. But that's another topic. We need our next clue from our mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
And the next one comes from Athena.
Today's mystery ingredient has a rich, earthy and caramel flavour. When boiled, they have a juicy and sweet flavour, and when roasted, become more caramelised.
All right, easy peasy. Most people know it. Very busy eating in studio here, all of us, pretty much. Chef Athena from Supernatural Kitchen, she is serving up and we are eating up, quite frankly. See, this is the thing. I mean, we were all thinking, oh, vegan food, it's going to taste terrible. It's not going to be great. It's going to be boring. I don't want to do this show. But actually, I'm very, very, very impressed. And I'm very impressed because the next dish that you're serving up, the first one that we just had, truffle beetroot ravioli made with marinated beetroot and cashew truffle cheese. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. Okay. But the second dish, this is really interesting. Raw pad thai. Tell us what's in this one.
So we have spiralized courgette, shredded carrot and red cabbage. And then the dressing is a mixture of sun-dried tomatoes, whole almonds, kefir lime leaves, ginger, garlic, galangal, lemongrass, all blended up together. And then we have as the topping black sesame seeds, which are some of my, I love black sesame seeds. And then a coconut Thai basil crunch on top, which is just dehydrated cashew nuts, coconut flakes, and again, kefir lime leaves, Thai basil. It's for a little bit of crunch on the top.
Mm. I mean, it doesn't have noodles in there.
No
noodles. And it kind of just makes you think, how on earth do you do this with no noodles? But you do.
Yeah, a spiralizer is your best friend at home. They're not expensive pieces of equipment. They're super easy to use. You can, so when I say spiralize, I'm talking about making a vegetable or fruit into spirals, lengthy spirals that resemble spaghetti or noodles. So if you have a spiralizer, you can do, we've got a special at the moment using a spiralized sweet potatoes. You can eat sweet potatoes raw. Obviously courgette, carrot, cucumbers. Spiralizers are really a really nice piece of equipment to have at home.
Do you have a spiralizer at home, Arit?
No, but I'm getting one.
Sweet potato raw.
Yeah. It's like a little slightly starchier version of a carrot, and really nice. Put a little bit of sea salt, a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and we've got that on the specials with a tahini lemon dill dressing.
But this is also something that you could make at home if you wanted to make it with the noodles, the pad thai.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, of course, of the noodles for pad thai, they're rice noodles, they're vermicelli.
Yeah, they're vegan anyway. So you can use normal noodles, you can use udon noodles, buckwheat noodles, rice noodles. But if you want something that is going to fill you but not leave you feeling heavy, it's really nice to use courgettes.
Because that's what I wanted to ask you about. You are doing a course at Supernatural Kitchen, but what are your tips for people who want to go vegan, and particularly when they want to replace certain foods? I was amazed by this. You've got smoked, quote-unquote, salmon on your menu.
Yeah, we do.
Tell me about that.
So sometimes I get questioned by people who will say, well, if you're vegan, why do you want to call it salmon? Or if you're vegan, why do you want to call it duck? Because we have crispy duck rolls also.
Not duck rolls.
Yeah, crispy not duck rolls. But the thing is, we live in a non-vegan world currently, and lots of people weren't vegan from birth. So it's nice to have those familiar flavours and textures. So the smoked salmon is made from marinated, dehydrated and smoked papaya. Now, if I write down marinated, smoked, dehydrated papaya, people will be like, what? But when you have an expectation of, oh, it's going to be a little bit fishy, it's going to have some seaweed, some umami to it, it's going to be smoky, smoked salmon. So that's why we call it smoked salmon, and we have it on raw onion bread with chive cream cheese, and I really love the smoked salmon.
It sounds good.
Thanks.
I want to try it now because that's what you really need. You do need that point of reference for people
exactly.
So that they know what it's going to taste like, because you're creating something new, essentially.
Yeah.
So,
brilliant. The pad thai tastes like really like a really authentic pad thai. You wouldn't notice that there are things missing.
Yeah.
But even as a vegetarian,
thank you.
It's an amazing, and it really is, because with the black, what do you call this?
Yeah, the sesame.
The black sesame and all the flavors. It's really nice. It's really nice. And you would really think, if you close your eyes and you're eating, you would think you're eating pad thai.
That's what we want to hear.
Well, that's what you're getting. Big reviews from us all round. I think we're all very happy with it and amazed by it, quite frankly. We have given away 4 clues so far. And I think we are up to clue number 5.
Guess the ingredient.
All right.
Yes. Today's mystery ingredient is of exceptional nutritional value, especially the greens, which are rich in calcium, iron, and vitamin A and C. Today's mystery ingredient is an excellent source of folic acid, fiber, magnesium, and potassium. The greens should not be overcooked. They can be cooked up and enjoyed the same way as spinach.
You've got a cookery course coming up. Are we going to be learning about how to bake in the kitchen? Vegan baking.
Yes.
Is that going to be something in there?
Yeah, we've got a whole module, 5 hours on baking. So we're doing pavlovas and sticky toffee date pudding with ginger miso caramel. And we are doing brownies and American style fluffy pancakes and vegan butter from scratch. So yeah, I'm really, really excited for the course. It's being held in Galeries Lafayette's brand new demo kitchen in the City Walk, their new Lafayette there, and it's just a stunning location.
You're hearing a lot of pouring going on in the studio.
Sorry.
I like the sound of coffee pouring. That is some Boone coffee from Orit. She's brought that with her. What can we say? We might go vegan tomorrow.
agree.
We've got Chef Athena Mateo, head chef at Supernatural Kitchen, with us in the studio, plus Orit Muhammad, founder of Boone Coffee. Sorry, I was so busy enjoying the brownie there that I forgot to turn you both on, but you are here. Chef Athena, you've brought in a beautiful selection of dishes from Supernatural Kitchen for us.
Thank you.
And if you are going to be winning that 500 dirham voucher for Supernatural Kitchen today, you are one lucky person. You're going to enjoy it quite a bit, I can tell you. We want healthy food, but as I was just telling you off air, you also want complexity of flavour.
Yes.
You want it to be interesting. You want it to do things in your mouth that are exciting. You want it to excite you. And these brownies, the salted caramel brownies that you brought in, do exactly that. Take us through the brownies.
Oh, thank you. So the base is a mixture of cacao, raw cacao powder, chia seeds, walnuts, almonds, fresh local organic dates. And then on the top, we have a caramel made from cacao butter, cashew nuts, sea salt, miso paste, freshly juiced ginger, all blended up into like a toffee caramel. And yeah, it's got a few cacao nibs on top. And it's it's a good one. We've had the brownie on the menu. I put the brownie on the menu over a year ago, before it was a Mexican brownie, which had a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of chili. And now we've just changed it to the salted caramel, and it's getting really good feedback. So I'm happy with that.
So, Orit, what do you think?
It's amazing, you know, being vegetarian. When you go to restaurants or when you eat it, when you think of vegetarian food, usually you're always disappointed at the end. You feel like it's not complete. There's something missing a lot of time when you eat out.
Or you feel like you want to cry.
Yeah.
But seriously, if you go to, you know, if you have this kind of meal, you wouldn't even notice that you're missing anything. You would be so happy, complete. I think even meat eaters or non-vegetarians would appreciate this.
Yes.
It's a very complete meal. It's not that it's missing something. There's nothing missing. It's perfect.
Exactly. You do not feel at all that you're missing out on anything. It is exciting. The flavors are exciting, and that's where it is, because I'm tasting that kick and just realized that it's actually ginger that you've put in there as well, which gives that heat, which is lovely. You've got the salty, you've got the caramel, you've got the texture from the chia seeds. I can feel that as well in the base, and it just makes for something that's multi-layered and it's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Really,
that's
lovely.
That's what the we don't want to cater just to vegans, because vegans are already converted. Whether they're having good food or bad food, they're vegan for a reason. So we want to tell people, you know, come and try the food. We challenge you as a meat eater or a non-vegan to come and taste the food, because we've all had bad experiences, and I regularly have bad experiences of boring tofu and bland salads and under-seasoned meals and
avocado toast,
which I hate. And, you know, just wipe the slate clean and start thinking of vegan food from a different point of view, because it can be exciting and delicious and fulfilling. But unfortunately, sometimes people have bad experiences and it can put them off.
Now, this pairs perfectly with what you've brought in, Orit, which is your fabulous coffee. Tell us that this is the Sidamo coffee.
Yes, it's actually Sidamo washed. This is the washed coffee season, so it's a very exciting time. This is the beginning of the new coffee.
From Ethiopia?
Yes, from Ethiopia. In most of the world, this is the beginning of the washed coffee season. So this is exciting. And so which means it's coffee that has been washed and processed instead of natural. So it's very clean taste, fresh, and it doesn't have an aftertaste, a strong aftertaste. So if you'd like to have black coffee, vegan, so it would be perfect, because you don't have the lingering aftertaste. So this is why I brought the Sidamo. And of course, anything goes with this brownie, I must say.
Thank you.
I love this. Just exactly as you said, it is very clean taste. You're not worried about the aftertaste that you do get normally with coffee. But you've actually just come back from Melbourne.
Yes.
We could, you know, easily call Melbourne the world capital of coffee lovers.
Yes, most definitely. I've lived in the States and I've traveled through Europe. You can't compare. You go to the airport, there's like 4 or 5 specialty coffee shops, I'm talking about, that are dealing with specialty coffee, and there's a line of people buying. So, you know, you have to know your coffee when you're there. It's refreshing, exciting, And for us roasters, local roasters anywhere, it's nice to see that people can appreciate it and they know. So sometimes, you know, you work so hard in sourcing the right beans, having everything, roasting it, you know, correctly, and you bring it and people may not appreciate it. Then you see Melbourne people are appreciating and seeking it. It's exciting that hopefully, you know, that kind of trend, hopefully it's not a trend, that appreciation of food, where it's coming from, how is it being done, is coming back to this part of the world too.
That I think I would say it's definitely been at least like that for the last 20 years, at least. So I don't think it's a passing trend.
No. So it was, you know, but you can't make mistakes with that. When you go and order Americano, they're like, what is Americano? And I'm like, long black. So, you know, you have to know your coffee. And it's nice. It's funny. Sometimes it's kind of funny. People take it so serious, but it's nice. And the baristas are ultra hipsters, they're so cool. You just want them, you know, the way they, you know, they're making their coffee correctly. It was really exciting. I learned a lot. So,
oh no, it's brilliant. What else did you learn being there that you can bring back to bring coffee?
Actually, I was there to see, you know, for the cold coffees and the
cold
nitro
brews.
Yes. So how are they drinking it? How, because it was summer, you know, it's Melbourne, it was summer, which was nice. But Melbourne has the same all seasons in one day. It would be hot and raining at the same time. So it was kind of weird.
Summer rain is quite a thing for us in Australia. We love that.
Yes.
So you've got to have a jacket and you've got to have an umbrella with you in the car, wherever you go.
Yes, they're such a hipster. I mean, they're hippies. Like, the whole country, it's really nice. I really like the vibe. And of course, since they really like their coffee, I was happy there. But I'm trying to figure out how the new trends, which way is it going. And you know, they like really good coffee, but they take it in small cups, 8 ounces. Here, our smallest cup we do is 10 to 12 ounces anywhere. People expect bigger. But over there, you see everybody with the small cup of coffees and really appreciating it. So hopefully, this is it. This is the future.
This is about quality over quantity.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Really appreciating every sip of coffee that you get.
Yes.
But coming back to the topic of being vegan, anybody who's thinking about doing it, I want some tips from you, from Athena, and even from you, Orit, on doing it and doing it right. And a lot of people think, oh, am I going to get the protein? That's one of their biggest concerns. Am I going to get the protein on a plant-based diet?
Okay. It's what we call the protein myth. Forget about protein. When you are eating a balanced, non-calorie restrictive diet, i.e. you're eating an appropriate amount of calories for your day-to-day activities, you don't need to worry about protein if you're having a range of fruits and vegetables. Whether you are a bodybuilder or you're sedentary on the sofa every day, you're too much protein from any source causes the body, it's extremely taxing on the body and extremely taxing on the kidneys. That's why we get kidney stones. It can contribute to gallstones. It's not necessary to worry about protein. There's a fantastic book called Proteinaholic, which breaks it down really, really nicely as well. I just think that for tips going vegan is do your research. So for the first couple of months I was a closet vegan and I didn't tell people that I'd gone vegan because, you know, often you get a bit of a backlash for why are you vegan? What about protein? You know, plants have feelings too, you know, like the animals would take over if we weren't vegan, all these crazy excuses. And until you have the knowledge to back up why you've gone vegan, it can be difficult and it can be disheartening when you've come to a new a new lifestyle, a new diet, and then you have it's challenging when people question it, you can't answer. So I would say do your research. So many documentaries online to watch, so many fantastic books to read. Find a vegan friend. Come to the restaurant and ask for me and I will answer any of your questions. Go on to meetup.com and look up Dubai Veg, and there's a vegan meetup scene here in Dubai. Find a vegan, ask for advice.
But even particularly for food preparation, to get those ideas from people like you, that is very valuable as well, because you've got all the tips that we want and how to make it taste this good.
That's what's good about finding either anytime, come to me. I do say to people, like, go onto our Instagram account, it's Be Supernatural, and if you send a message, it does come directly to me. So I speak to people. One of my favorite parts of my job is that I've probably met every vegan in Dubai. I'm in a little vegan bubble there, and I say to people, just honestly, ask questions, ask anything you need to know. But yeah, find a vegan and ask for tips on cooking, on what they eat, find out what people eat day to day. And the more, when you go to supermarkets, you'll see more and more vegan products. If you're looking for, maybe you've never noticed them before, but now that you're vegan, if you look for them, you'll notice that supermarkets have a really good selection now.
You know, even to go vegan, you don't have to start with going complete vegan. You could try it for, you know, for weeks or a couple of days a week. You know, we can reduce your meat intake. You know, about backlash, I have a child who's almost a vegan. He's a strict vegetarian. And people always make me feel guilty and saying, you know, where is he getting his protein? Where is he getting this? He's a little boy. He needs his energy. But he's actually so energetic. He's wearing me out. And he has the most energy out of the three children I have. So I do see that it doesn't affect them negatively. I'm pretty confident that he's doing actually better than the other boys. He's very athletic. Mm. So, but he will not. And it's nothing I said or done. He just chose. So I'm letting him be.
Just a message that's come in about the traffic. I think it's definitely worth reading from Majid. Thanks for the text. Opposite the World Trade Center towards Abu Dhabi, a serious accident on the E11. Can see ambulance on the scene with one 4x4 Porsche airbags open there. Three ambulances on the scene saying, please avoid the E11. That's just a bit of a tip there for the traffic. So Shireen says, me and my family have been vegan for the past 3 years. I have 6 kids, and with my last pregnancy, I was vegan. I had a healthy pregnancy, she says. I didn't take any supplements, and I had a healthy baby girl. All my kids are so much healthier since going vegan. No more eczema.
Yeah.
You know, this is these are some of the things that I guess can happen if you go vegan. Different people say different things, but there are those who believe that going vegan just makes you feel so much better. It's a good thing for your health.
Yeah, the miracle stories you'll see is to do with acne, like deep, like severe, awful acne that people have still into adulthood can be cleared when they go vegan. Eczema, it's amazing for healing eczema. Like my personal health issues were completely cleared up. These were the things I had, the doctors told me were incurable, and I would just have to manage them. And I was just pumped full of pills and painkillers, masking the problem. And you have to sometimes take your health into your own hands. I always went to the doctor and heard what they had to say, but food, people don't realize literally everything, single cell in your body is created from what you put in your mouth.
It's interesting, it's because we're going to be doing a diet special on Dubai Today very soon.
Oh, really?
In the next couple of weeks. That is coming up. It is on the calendar for us. We'll let you know exactly when it is, but it's definitely a great debate to have, and one that we definitely will be having. Yeah. And maybe even by then I might have tried, hopefully, a couple of weeks of going vegan.
Yes.
We'll see. I feel like it needs a little bit of planning though, so
yeah, especially if you're not familiar with it, do a bit of planning, do some research, look into the health side. What I also say to people often is it's very, very easy to cheat on your own personal health, but if you do take a look into the ethical and environmental side of veganism, it has something to ground you there, to really root you into why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So where it's easy to quickly have a chocolate bar or quickly have, you know, something, it's if you have the ethical and environmental side behind it, it can also help you stick to veganism.
Lots of food for thought, but we've got to ask you, Chef Athena.
Food fantasy.
Your food fantasy. Tell us.
So another one. One of the most fantastic places I ever had vegan food was in San Francisco, in a restaurant called Minellium, and it was out of this world. We were meant to be driving back to Santa Barbara that evening, and it was like a 12-hour drive, and we stayed there until the only booking we could get was at 10 p.m. and the food we had there was worth driving through the night to get back home. That we had these trumpet mushrooms that were rolled in rice flour, and honestly they were indecipherable from a calamari. It was literally a calamari. And then I had for dessert this Douglas fir, as in the pine tree, a Douglas fir flavored creme brulee. it was with cranberry sorbet. It was out of this world. Manelium, I know they'd been there for over 20 years. They've now moved, and they've opened another one very close to San Francisco. So, yeah, if you're ever in America in the San Francisco Bay Area, go to Manelium. It was phenomenal.
I think you need to put together a directory of the world's best vegan restaurants.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
It sounds like you know them all. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. Ali was asking about your Instagram. If you go to the Dubai Eye Instagram, Ali, you will find Chef Athena's Instagram, Supernatural's Instagram there. It's all linked. Have a look at the photos from today's show. You'll find them all there. Also, go to our blog, the Dubai Today blog on DubaiEye1038.com. You'll find all the details there for Orit, for Boone Coffee, and for Chef Athena at Supernatural Kitchen. But we can't let you go without telling us, Chef Athena, what the mystery ingredient was, because it of course featured in one of your dishes.
Yes, it was beetroot.
It's beetroot.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.